this is going to be a bit of a travelogue. So when you ask, where did you go with your daughter this year? Here's your show. Episode 287, Back from Moab. This is the Ericast for the week of April 23, 2017.
From Ericast.com. Welcome to the Ericast.
Well, welcome to or welcome back to the Ericast. I'm your host, Eric Larson. Listener feedback line 701-645-3742. Conveniently spells out Eric at the end if you spell Eric with a C. If you don't spell it with a C, then it gets confusing. We throw that right up front, kind of in the hope or thought that if you're listening later and decide, oh, that's an interesting point, you can just play this right back from the beginning to catch that phone number. Yes, I do tend to speak at a default 2x speed, so if you have your podcast player set to speed things up, you might need to slow it down for me. Anyway, as you probably figured out, I'm Eric Larson. The Ericast is what we, the majestic we, it's just me, but we tend to say we around here, call a personal podcast. It's a term that we invented. It's probably been used elsewhere, I would imagine. But what it means is that you're either here because you know me and you want to know what's going on in my life, or you're here for a particular topic. In this case, traveling to Utah. And then it's like, well, who is this guy? And I've been reflecting on the nature of podcasting. So if you're here for the Utah topic, just bear with me. We kind of missed the Ericast birthday. March flew by, and I'll tell you why. But the Ericast started in 2005. A lot of people think that that is a typo or whatever the verbal equivalent would be, a speako or a talko or something. Not a taco, but a talko. Don't know how you'd spell that. Anyway, Eric, podcasts weren't around in 2005. Well, they actually were. I'd been introduced to a podcast called Chuck Chat from a guy named Chuck Tomasi in like December of 2004. And I finally, I got the idea. It took me a while to get it. And that spring, it's like, oh, this makes sense now. And it's really cool. So I will synchronize this up to my little iRiver MP3 player with a whopping 128 megabytes. Of RAM, like in your pocket. It was really cool. And it ran on a single AA battery, so you didn't have to worry about charging it. You just replace the battery. Anyway, yes, podcasting has been around for that long. Even though it feels like, oh, I've been doing this forever since 2012. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not bitter. This is not going to be one of my cynical episodes, so I have to be a little bit careful about that because you'll kind of see where that goes. But yeah, podcasting is hard. It is harder than it should be. And you think, well, what's the big deal? I mean, I'm going to be talking here for 20 minutes or so. And that's 20 minutes. But there's like at least a half hour of show prep in there. I was looking for some links and stuff to get some information. And then after I'm done, it's going to be at least like a half hour, 45 minutes of putzing around with copying and pasting text and get the file all tidied up and compressed and then uploaded to where you can download it from. And then going over to the blog and then linking back to it. It's just... Man, and I might be a little sad. I don't know. Despondent? No, I'm not that sad. But I might be reflective at the moment because the Minovate podcast with Steve Borsch and the gang is done. They hit 400 episodes and they said, that's going to be it. We want our weekends back, among other things. And it's, that's fine. But that hit me surprisingly hard because there are some things that you just kind of always assume they're going to be around. And that was one of them. And wow. Well, and I'd kind of hope that I would be clipping along at a better pace and, get 300 episodes under my belt and kind of see, but we're just sort of just plodding along toward 300. I don't know. So then I got thinking, well, I could hire out the production side of this, so you just record a file and send it off to someone and say, here. Because the routine work of, the mechanics of making the podcast isn't difficult. I mean, it's just a process you have to follow. But I think that would get pretty expensive. So I have the feeling that since I don't really have any income from this, because it's just random topics, I think my time is cheaper than that. So I am kind of looking for some feedback on the future of the show, because as you can tell, it's not very regular. It's supposed to be regular. It's supposed to be weekly. And we joke that it's the weekly podcast that comes out about once a month. But I'm not, I don't know if that's funny anymore. It's kind of just sad. Which is also sad because I love doing it. I really, really love doing the podcast. And I've got plenty of content to make it weekly. I mean, kind of over the years, folks have said, well, you could talk about this or that or different things. No, I don't have trouble finding things to talk about. If you know me, you'll know I do not have trouble finding things to talk about. And already, you don't even have to play it back at double speed because I'm already talking double speed for you. So that's nice. I can cram a lot into 20-some minutes. But I'm kind of wondering if an erratic podcast is sort of worse than nothing at all. So, let me know what you think about that. 701-645-3742. And leave a message there and say, hey, here's what I think. But I will tell you that I did have a good excuse for not getting an episode out in late March. And that is that I was on another family vacation. So that's the topic of this podcast. And just sort of a summary documenting what we did. Candela is 13 now. 2 years ago, she was 11. This is the math portion of the Aircast. And I've mentioned this before, but just the brief context that I always wanted to see the desert Southwest. So, and I have a feeling I probably talked about this in the last episode. And if you're listening to these back to back, it was just a few minutes ago for you. But for me, that was a long time ago. It's like a month and a half. So apologies if this is redundant. But anyway, loved Roadrunner cartoons as a kid. I always thought, oh, that's really cool. That's the scenery I want to see. And so 2 years ago, when we realized that doing it as a road trip in the summer might be a little bit unpleasant because it gets hot in the desert, but I had some time over spring break, I decided to fly in to Vegas and then rent a car and drive north into southwest Utah. And in pondering this, what I realized is, well, once you rent the car and you've got a hotel room and stuff, for the cost of just a plane ticket, I could bring Candela along. So 2 years ago, we did the daddy-daughter road trip across Utah, plug the phone in and listen to her Minecraft parody songs, which are all Katy Perry-based. It was really kind of fun. There is a ton of information about that trip in the Aircast archives. So go look for that. And I'm not going to play favorites. I'm really happy we did this trip. But if you're looking for a trip to do, I think that was a better one. If you're flying in, I think that worked out pretty well. So we flew into Vegas. We drove north. And within just a few hours, you've got Valley of Fire, which gives you that desert-type scenery. Zion, which gives you that, you know, like, in the bottom of the canyon scenery with the big towering cliffs above you. And then Bryce Canyon, which gives you the top of the canyon looking out over the vista that goes on for miles. This was a remarkably similar trip. So here's what we did. 2 years later, and since the girls are like almost exactly 3 years apart, this year Kendall is 13, I go with her. Next year I go with Chloe, probably going to repeat that first trip because it's a pretty easy, straightforward one. Then the following year, that would be 2019, man, time flies. Candela will be 15 and we'll do something. I'm thinking maybe Pacific Northwest, though in March that might not be very, very wise. Anyway, that's kind of the order of how these things go. I've got it all planned out. So this year I wanted to do what we didn't do 2 years ago, which is get to Moab. Moab is in eastern Utah, southeast Utah. And the problem is, as I looked at this, and this is why we didn't make it over a couple years ago, is Moab is like 6 or 7 hours from everything. Like, everything. Like, that's it. Probably the shortest drive is you can fly into Salt Lake City and then drive south. You could fly into, like, Phoenix or Flagstaff or something, but try to get into Arizona and then drive north. You can do what we did a couple years ago, which is fly into Vegas and then drive northeast, mostly east. That's like 8 hours. Or you can fly into Denver and drive west. But what we didn't want to do was try to head across the Rockies in March snowstorm weather. That would be an adventure, but you might end up stuck in some little mountain pass town for I don't know how long. They basically say, yeah, you know, well, it's hit and miss. Well, that's great. And if you miss on the weather, that's bad. So here's what we did instead. We flew into Denver, and then we did a little puddle jumper jet plane thing to Grand Junction, then rented a car in Grand Junction. And from there, Moab is less than 2 hours away, depending on how you drive. And we'll get to that in a minute. That worked out really, really well. So from a flight itinerary schedule thing, that was a good plan. So we flew into Grand Junction, spent our first night there, rented a car. The interesting thing, if you remember that story about United Airlines before the Scorpion and before the dragging the guy out of his seat, there was the issue of the United Airlines leggings incident. Remember that, where they kicked some girls off for wearing leggings? And it turned out that they were flying on a special corporate pass thing or whatever, and not a regular passenger, but... what we knew when we landed on Denver and got off our United flight and fired up the phones and took them off airplane mode is, oh, Twitter is all lit up regarding teenage girls being kicked off a United flight for wearing leggings. I look over at Candela. And of course, because you want to travel comfortably, Kendall is wearing a nice long, like, sweater dress type thing and leggings. Well, it all turned out fine, but yeah, that was something we were a little attentive to. And since we flew out of Minneapolis, I have a feeling that the plane that had come in from Denver that we got on to, like, turn around and go back out to Denver, that may have been the infamous leggings plane. Ooh. But anyway, that was our excitement landing in Denver. Layover and then small little plane. Over to Grand Junction. Not as bad a flight as I thought. I was a little bit worried about turbulence and air sickness and stuff, but it was fine. It was one of these, you've got like one seat, then the aisle, then a pair of seats. So it's a small plane. I forget how many rows. But it was great. Okay. Grand Junction. It's a big town. It's got a Walmart. So, you know, there you go. It's a nice town, nice hotel. There were prairie dogs right outside the airport, so that was really cute. And we drove, you know, the rental car from the airport to the hotel, like two blocks away. It's like, oh, prairie dogs! So we went out for a walk that night to look and see if we could spot any prairie dogs. There was one kind of off in the distance. We did keep in, like, off to the distance and did not go tromping through the prairie dogs, because the tiny problem with the prairie dogs in Colorado is they carry the bubonic plague. So you really don't want to play with the prairie dogs. But we survived. It is now late April, and neither one of us has come down with the plague. So I think we did okay. And prairie dogs are still super cute. The Coloradian, whatever the term is, prairie dogs are as cute as the South Dakota prairie dogs. Okay, so Grand Junction. Then rental car down Utah 128. Everybody says that when you're driving from Grand Junction to Moab, you should get off the freeway and take Highway 128. The reason they tell you this is because you should get off the freeway and take 128. That was stunning. Stunning. Reminds me a lot of Zion. So if you're curious, I'll kind of compare these to the scenery there. But it goes right along the Colorado River, but you have these super high cliffs that tower above you, come through Castle Valley, and it was just really, really, really beautiful. One of those where you just once you get down, like the first third, maybe even half of the drive is a little obnoxious. It's kind of over flat, what seems flat, but sort of rolling land. So it's, you get a little, if you're prone to car sickness, it's like, well, okay, just kind of, you know, bounce along over these little hills. But then once you actually get down into the river valley, it's very, very beautiful. So that was Utah 128. And then we got into Moab. Moab is a town. It's growing. It's very touristy. They do not have a Walmart, but they've got the, you know, the dollar stores and you know, pizza places and this and that. Now, the thing you have to remember about me and Kendall, we are not hikers. So we'll get out and we'll walk around on the nice flat trails. We like, you know, paved or graveled, That's we're not. You know, people ask, you know, oh, so did you go on one of those, you know, Jeep tours or rent a Jeep or whatever? No, no. We I forget if it was like a Hyundai, some fairly fancy Hyundai Elantra, Sonata, something. I've got it written down somewhere. We were in a comfortable car. We would drive the comfortable car on paved roads. We would park. Then we would get out and we would walk to the thing that we were supposed to walk to. That's how we roll. Now, if you are in the bouncing along in a Jeep and doing the off-roading thing, more power to you. That's great. We are not that person. So that just kind of helps you understand where it is that we went to or didn't, as the case may be. The road in Arches is an in-and-out road. Arches National Park is under construction at night. So there is no overnight camping in Arches, and you have to be out by like 7 o'clock, which didn't really affect us too much, but it kind of is what it is. As an aside, I would highly recommend getting the National Parks Pass. If you're a senior citizen, you have a chance to get one, like a lifetime one for $10. They're going to redo that and up the price, so get it now if you can. For those of us who are not senior citizens yet, it's $80 a year, which sounds like a lot of money, but when you think, like, you don't have to pay for any parking, you don't have to pay per person, you just drive through and show them the pass, and they smile and wave you in. They ask if you'd like a map, and that's all. That is really convenient. So we got to Arches early, actually, because I was reading up on the fact that it's going to get busy, so try to get in early. And aside from one stop at what they call like Park Avenue, where there's some tall stone things. What we did is we kind of drove out to the end so that we would be working our way back as other people were coming in. That seemed to be a pretty good way to do it. It was raining, though interesting desert weather. I mean, just, you know, the rain would kind of come and go, and you'd be on high spots and be able to see, you know, the rain clouds in the distance now that the rain's fallen down. So it was really pretty. But I think that kept some of the crowds away. But when the next day when we went by, went out to Canyonlands, and the drive to the Islands in the Sky is what it's called. Island, singular, I think. Island in the Sky. It goes right by Arches, and boy, the line was pretty, you know, the line at 10 a.m. was much, much longer than being able to drive straight through at 8:45 in the morning. So anyway, Arches reminded me a lot of Valley of Fire, which is a state park just north of Vegas. So again, if you're if you say, I want to see desert, and I want to, you know, see, you know, stone towery type things, you could just fly to Vegas and then go to Valley of Fire, and it would not be as spectacular as Arches. Trust me, Arches is spectacular, but that it's similar to that. So that kind of gives you a comparison there. But beautiful, lots of arches. And what's interesting is I sit here in Ericast Studio A, is I've got my dad's old slide collection from 1971 when he did this tour. I've scanned some of them, but not all of them. So we made sure to go to some of the sites that I know he saw. Wall Arch, I think it's called Wall Arch, has fallen since he saw it. So we've got pictures that he took of it back then, and now it's gone. Landscape Arch is still there, but barely. So even though that was a long walk in the rain, Kendall didn't particularly like that. But we agreed that we really should go see it, because there's a very good chance that in the next few years that arch is going to fall as well, and that'll be gone. So and it was kind of cool that, you know, Dad saw it, and we saw it too. So that's Arches. Very, very, very cool. The next day we went out to the Island in the Sky area of Canyonlands, which reminds me a lot of Bryce Canyon. You're kind of at the top of the canyon looking out over these spectacular vistas. And then Dead Horse State Park is right outside of that. So, yeah, your national park thing doesn't get you into Dead Horse, but Dead Horse, it was like $15 for a 3-day pass or something, so there's no excuse not to go in there. And here's a tip you won't hear anywhere else. Canyonlands, least the Island in the Sky district, has no flush toilet restrooms. It's a nice visitor center, and they have running water here or there for, like, for camping or something, I guess. I don't quite know. But all of their facilities are glorified outhouses. Dead Horse State Park has beautiful flush toilet restrooms. So if you are traveling with a family, or you just don't like using non-flushing facilities, be sure to know that you can go into Dead Horse, and that alone is probably worth the $15 if you care about that. But that kind of surprised me. I mean, it sort of doesn't, because it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere and it's a national park, etc. But Arches, which is less off the beaten path, their main visitor center at least does have flush toilets. Canyonlands, it doesn't, but Dead Horse State Park does. So there's your tip. So, having promised this to be about 20 minutes, I'll keep it short. We drove south about a half hour, 45 minutes at night, because it was a new moon, to try and look at stars. We did look at stars. There are lots of stars. But what really surprised me is the sky wasn't that dark. And I don't know why. If it's just the background, like, you know, stars? I don't know. But standing out there, like, in the middle of nowhere on this road, another 8 miles off the highway, so you're really kind of in the middle of nowhere, it was very, very easy to differentiate, you know, trees from sky. I mean, the sky just had sort of a, you know, there are stars, but just kind of a background glow to it, which sort of surprised me. I would have thought it would be more the, you know, can't see your hand in front of your face, but that said, some of the stars and planets and things are really bright, so it could just be that. I think Venus was up. You know, it could just be there's just that much light out there from the sky. But it is dark. There are plenty of stars, so that's a good thing. That was we went south of Moab to the Needles Overlook Road. It's one of the few paved roads down there. And then we didn't go all the way out to the overlook, but we went about halfway. There's a pull off for a camping area. And that's where we went for some stargazing. And then worked our way home. That's probably a story for another time. I'll talk about flying United out. But they did give us it was actually really nice. They my phone all lit up and I was being texted and the app lit up and stuff. They said there is a winter storm coming, and so we will allow you to change your flight to anything between now and April 5th at no cost, you know, for the, you know, it needs to be the same definition, you know, same class, destination and class of seats, but we won't ding you any change fees. Now, when I went onto the website and did that, it said, sure, no problem, that's going to be $600, sir. Yeah, no, so I had to call and talk to a real person. But that was nice because it got us out a day early. We had kind of seen what we wanted to see, gave us some more time on the return end here, long story. But yeah, we drove back, not on Utah 128, because I'd already actually made a special trip up there after Arches, because you could see Castle Valley from Arches, which I just, for some reason, I just thought was really, really, really cool to see Castleton Rock or Tower, whatever it is. But we came across on I-70. You can also see it from there. There's a mountain range there. I think it's the LaSalle Mountains. That I didn't quite expect to have this big snow-capped, you know, set of mountains towering over you when you're there in Moab. Very nice. And then in Grand Junction on our last day, we went out through the Colorado National Monument. Again, that National Park Pass gets you right in. And it's really cool. I mean, it's more of the same, so you really need to kind of, you know, be into the, you know, looking at canyons and valleys and rock formations and stuff. But that's, if you like that, and I really do, then it's like, oh, it's really cool. So that was that. You don't want to miss that if you're in Grand Junction. By all means, do that. Yeah, I think that's it. Then flying home with only one weird plane delay and arriving at 1:30 in the morning and doing our first Uber ride. with a really cool high school kid, because the friend that was going to pick us up, I said, yeah, 11:30 at night, that's tough enough on a work night, but you know, like 1:30, thanks United. That's beyond heroic. So we just Ubered, and Ubering went really well. So that is the whirlwind summary of our trip to Moab. So after all these years of thinking, I think it's Moab that I want to be going to, we finally went to Moab itself. And that's a scoop. So if you want to know about any more of those, any highlights, say more about, Dead Horse Point. Why is it named after a dead horse? I'd be more than happy to fill you in. Maybe in a future episode, if we have them. Let me know what you think of the episode schedule. 701-645-3742. Thanks for listening. And until next time, take care.
Thanks for listening to the Ericast from Ericast.com.
Visit us at www.ericast.com.